Grow Great, the podcast, episode 4026, and there is no production value, no music. You don't need that. Today, it's about pain. It doesn't care if it's work or personal. When I read Dustin McKesson's article on Inc., and there's a link to this over at the website, growgreat.com, just go find episode 4026. I was already filled with a fistful of stories of top executives and business owners. Dustin's article is entitled, Three Things I Did to Come Back from Career Failure. And it resonated with me because I know how true these things are. And it's not because I know Dustin personally, and it's not because I know his story personally, except for what he's revealed. But he's totally the kind of person that I would like to get to know. And no, it was because there's just so much fraud among business people, especially leaders. I mean, even yesterday morning, I noticed a friend, Marcus, the sales lion, Sheridan, he posted a short video about the comparison-itis that exists. And trying to find balance, and how one of the big dangers is, and I agree with Marcus, we get wrapped up in comparing ourselves with other people. And as a result, sometimes we chase things that we really don't care about, but we think other people do. And so we get sucked in. Conversely, it seems easier, I think, to find content online that extols the virtues of hustle and outworking our competition, and, you know, and so we make these choices that fuel our career, that fuel our business. And then there are all the success evangelists like Gary Vaynerchuk and Grant Cardone and others. And it, listen, I respect their work, but these and many others, they preach loudly sermons of 16, 18 hour work days and hitting the ground at 5 a.m. and putting in the work and giving up things so that you can devote more time to the hustle of your business. Now, at least Gary is very clear that that's how he's choosing to live, and he doesn't make judgments on how other people choose to live. Now, there's absolute truth that his sermons do insinuate that it's the way to go because he chooses to do it, and as a result, because of his reach and because of his influence, there are people that are going to think, well, I have to do the same thing. I think Gary would be the first to say, well, that's on them. And I think so too. But I know that it's hard for some of his disciples, I'm sure, to make their own choices though, because they so desperately believe and follow his advice. I don't blame him for that. It really is just kind of these two fundamental differences in how people approach life. Nobody doubts, at least I don't. I don't think anybody doubts where Gary Vaynerchuk is placing his bet. I mean, all of his chips are in the middle of the table toward buying the New York Jets and to accumulate as much wealth as possible in order to do that because, well, that's what it's going to take. Entry into the NFL ain't cheap. In fact, just yesterday, Gary announced the start of Vayner Sports, a new sports agency collaboration. And I'm not here to tell you what to do, nor am I here to judge whichever side of this debate you want to embrace. You just roll the way you want to roll. There are prices, though, to be paid for either choice. That work-life balance crowd, maybe, just maybe, they could find greater financial success. Maybe they could accomplish more business-wise if they spent additional hours at work, if they spent more time hustling. The spend all my time at work crowd, maybe they could find greater family or relationship success if they spent less time at work. So, you know, the trade-offs are all over the place. CEOs and business owners are not robots. Well, not yet. They might be one day, but not yet. They are people. And just like you and just like me and just like everybody else, they are people with a past, and they are people with hopes of a better future. Yeah, sounds a lot like us, doesn't it? That's because they're not different. Not really. They had parents who may have failed miserably. They may have had parents who were wildly successful at parenting. They did well in school. They may have failed out of school. They have advanced degrees. They have no degrees. They're extroverted. They're terribly introverted. They drive fancy foreign exotic cars. They don't even own a car. They wear $3,000 custom-made suits. Or they wear jeans and t-shirts. They are articulate, able easily to express whatever they're thinking, whatever their thoughts are, their ideas, or they can stumble badly, battling to express themselves and to clearly enunciate an idea. Some are engineers, some are artists, some show off the money that they make. Others, you wouldn't know they had a dime to their name. Welcome to the world of absolutes, right? I mean, this much is absolutely true. 100% of the time. Are you ready? There are no absolutes. For every CEO, for every business owner who did it one way, there are dozens of others who didn't do it that way at all. Time and chance. Time and chance. It happens to all of us, for good or for bad. And here's another absolute. And really, this is the point of today's show. It's an absolute. You ready for it? Everybody hurts. Sometimes. Yeah, cue that REM hit song. Because pain is universal. Money won't cure it. Business success won't remedy it. Not in terms of getting rid of the pain completely, not in terms of preventing it, because life is a grind. Life is a grind no matter if you're failing, no matter if you're succeeding. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. A number of months ago, I was remarking to a friend that success can sometimes feel like failing. And I would imagine that the reverse is also true. Now, many, 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 many things are not universal. For instance, how you choose to approach business. But pain, oh yeah, pain is very universal because we do all hurt sometimes. During a regularly scheduled business meeting with the leaders of an organization, the CEO, he notices that one of the VPs is he's just not quite himself. It is a Thursday afternoon. It is just after lunch, around 1 o'clock. The group is normally very businesslike, but they're fun-loving. And they enjoy each other's company. It's very obvious. And that's how the owner, who is also the CEO, that's how he operates. He does take business seriously. He does not take himself quite so seriously. And he really doesn't want his inner circle to take themselves too seriously. It is absolutely a culture that he fosters, especially among these guys, these three people who are seated at this table with him. Rick is the VP of technology. And Rick joined the team about 3 years ago because, well, it suited him to a T. He often jokes with people that he's a geek with a personality. He is the kind of, he's the kind of perceptive technology guy that I think most CEOs deep down, they would really love to have. He's not so much in love with the technology. Now he does love technology, but he doesn't fall in love with some specific technology. Instead, he really is a guy who can focus on the positive impact that some technology might be able to afford his company. Well, the CEO hired him largely 3 years ago or so because during the interview process, Rick really impressed him with this kind of a practical approach to incorporating and integrating technology. And of course, it was coupled with Rick's ability to relate to and to understand the perspective of non-technical people because, well, the CEO and the owner, he's technically savvy, but I would not describe him as a geek. He's way more non-technical than Rick. And so for Rick, it's just been a perfect fit for him. And the team has been, and he is the newest member of the team, and they all with open arms embraced his presence. Now, all week long, the CEO has noticed that Rick he's quieter than normal. In fact, much more so. But the CEO just wrote it off as, okay, we've got this new project management software that we're integrating, and I'm sure Rick's preoccupied by that because it's scheduled to go live late next week. So it's about a week away from going live. And so he's got a lot on his plate, and the project's going fine. It's going well, but the CEO just figures, well, he knows Rick well enough to know that Rick's fanatical about details and he obsesses about having all of his ducks in a row. I mean, come on, he is the VP of technology and that is partly his job. And it's also another reason why the organization loves Rick so much. He's really good at his job, and he just doesn't let things hit the floor. So the CEO assumes that Rick's quiet demeanor this week, even though it's not normal, it's probably precipitated by all of that stuff going on. But here they are on a Thursday afternoon around 1 o'clock, and it's a staff meeting, a weekly staff meeting. And as the CEO is wont to do, he goes around the room beginning this meeting. And often leaders do this. You know, there's some sort of a check-in. I mean, there's lots of structures for meetings, but an awful lot of people do this kind of check-in kind of a thing. And mostly, I think, we lean toward making that check-in be something to try to get us off on a positive note, as opposed to let's immediately dive into some problems and possibly, just possibly, start a bunch of gripe gutting going around. This CEO, he chooses to go around the room and he just wants people to say one thing that they're thankful for. I like it. You know, this is an owner and a leader who hopes to focus his small group of leaders. There's four of them in this room. On something that he values, and that's gratitude. And he begins himself. He doesn't go last. He goes first and he says, well, I'm thankful for the contract that we got yesterday, because I know that you all worked really hard to land that deal. And it's really going to open up some opportunities that we've been looking for. And of course he jokes how the cash influx, that's not going to hurt cash flow matters any at all either. And everybody kind of smiles about it. And he turns toward the VP of sales and asks him what he's thankful for. And this guy says he's thankful for his wife of 8 years, because Friday night, which is tomorrow night, they're going to be celebrating their 8th wedding anniversary by attending a concert of one of her favorite bands, Coldplay. And of course, well, the group, they can't help but tease him. It's a good natured ribbing, but they tease him about going to a Coldplay concert. Up next, Rick. Rick, our VP of technology, our quiet guy. Something's going on with Rick this week. We assume it's because he's got this new project management integration going on, but that's just supposition on the CEO's part. And Rick's, his expression, it quickly grows very serious after the chuckles subside over the Coldplay stuff. And in fact, if you don't know better, I mean, he looks like he's just about to cry. And the room grows really tense and anxious. And you can tell Rick is really struggling to just speak. And he just mutters, I'm sorry. Well, the CEO, he takes the reins. I mean, these guys have been together as a group for at least 3 years. Again, Rick's the newest member. The others, they've been together almost twice that long. The door to this meeting is closed. This is a private setting of these four men who have been leading this company in strong double-digit growth since things started. 50% annual growth is more common than not. And these are exciting times. And these are exciting people. And these are people who are leading the parade. The CEO is just not about to let this tension get the best of them. And so he says, Rick, you're among friends. We're here for you. Well, Rick is still struggling to gain his composure. I mean, it's obvious speaking is not going to be easy for him. You know, you've heard that phrase, the cat got your tongue. Well, a cat, something had Rick's tongue. I mean, it's not easy for him right now. And so the CEO says, take your time. And again, Rick, all he can mutter is, I'm sorry, guys. Well, the CEO now senses that there is something major happening with Rick, and he decides that he's going to disrupt the meeting because the meeting, like all of their meetings, it has a set agenda. And he eliminates this tension right away, which is a great thing, by the way, lesson to be learned in leadership, and says, gentlemen, we're in this together. And today's meeting agenda has just now changed. And I know that we haven't gone around the room yet, but we're going to conduct this meeting for ourselves. There's nothing on our agenda that can't be pushed off for another day. But this right here, and he kind of points to Rick, who's not looking up, this right here, this pain deserves our best efforts. Let me tell you something else I'm thankful for, says the CEO. I'm thankful for each of you. Rick, tell us what's going on. Tell us whatever you feel comfortable telling us, because we're all in this together and we are here to help. Well, Rick swallows hard. There's tears. There's tears coming. And just like this, he unveils the pain and he says, my wife left me. Well, the VP of sales, right? The guy, the guy has just said he's thankful for celebrating his 8th wedding anniversary. He sitting next to Rick and between Rick and the CEO, you can just see his shoulders slump almost immediately as if to be guilty because he's celebrating an 8th wedding anniversary. Rick's been married longer, 14 years or close to it. That's all Rick can say before almost falling to pieces. My wife left me. Now, this CEO, he's a toucher. I know because I am one and we can spot each other a mile away. And I can relate because I am as well. And he I don't mean inappropriate now. He touches people on the shoulder at appropriate times. He's even been known to hug somebody on occasion if it called for it. You can tell he's sensing that this is one of those times. And so he gets up and he walks over to Rick and he leans down and he puts a hand on each shoulder and then moves off to one side and kind of puts his arm around Rick's shoulders. And, you know, in a scene that you just don't normally see in business scenarios, and you sure don't hear this very much, but I love it. This CEO tells Rick that he loves him. Yeah. I can see the idea bubble over your head. Wait a minute. What? What did you just say? Rick, I love you, man. We all love you. That's what the CEO says to this guy. And it takes a few minutes, but Rick begins to grow comfortable. And he just tells them that his wife had made a decision. And, you know, the details don't matter as much as their net impact. It had happened on Sunday night. Here we are on a Thursday, early afternoon. The prior Sunday night is when this happened. So Rick came to work Monday morning with a heavy heart, and nobody knew. He's lived with this for almost 4 days now at work, suffering in silence. And now it's all coming out. And as a member of this team, he feels horrible. In fact, he tells them that. He feels horrible for bringing this problem to work. And so that sparks this discussion among these guys, these four professional friends in various roles, including the owner of the joint, the CEO. And it sparks this discussion about pain and having, that pain just doesn't respect anybody. And pain hits you wherever you are, no matter what your role is. And it doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't care what corporate title you wear. It doesn't care if you wear one at all. Pain is completely oblivious to the kind of car you drive, or the square footage of your house, or the high dollar nature or lack thereof of your wardrobe. Pain just doesn't care about any of those things. Pain just is. Nobody on this management team would dare argue that personal pain impacts the workplace. I mean, here's one of their own, a member of the leadership group, and he is in serious pain. None of them would argue that workplace pain, it often travels home. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There are a lot of people that are pompous enough and dishonest enough, and they say, oh, no, I don't bring anything home. I'm really good at not bringing anything home. I've had a number of CEOs and owners tell me that. Sorry, I don't buy it. Because pain hurts, and pain does not care where you are. It does not care what else you got going on in your life. Have you ever had a headache? I get them every now and again. When your head hurts, when you got a headache, it is impossible to set it aside. I don't care who you are. I mean, man, it permeates everything you do. It overpowers everything you attempt to do. Reading? Well, that ain't going to happen. Concentration? Forget that. I mean, unless you include concentrating on how badly your head hurts. I mean, when your head hurts, you don't feel like doing much of anything. And unless you've got some good meds to help you get over it, well, laying down to sleep it off, that's impossible. I mean, when your head hurts so bad you can't lay down and rest, I mean, it's the biggest elephant in the room, no matter what you've got planned. And it doesn't matter what deadlines are staring you down. Your headache doesn't care about any of that. And to say, well, I can turn it off and I can turn it. No, you can't. It's a degree of pain that just overpowers you. And sometimes we have that kind of pain. CEOs and business owners can experience levels of pain that is unique to their role because they have the authority to make decisions that have the biggest impact on their companies. And as a result, the risks are higher. The consequences potentially more powerful. Yeah, sure. Sure. The opportunity for rewards, they're also higher. The higher up the ladder you go, the more powerful the impact of the decisions that are going to be made at that level, but also the further you can fall, right? The pain potential, that goes up too, the higher up you go. So here's the question. Here's the question of the show. What do you do with your pain? Rick, our VP of technology, he was trying real hard, and he almost pulled it off, but he was really trying hard to just get through the week. And he was doing what many of us do. He was trying to do it by himself. And he held it together pretty well. I mean, all due credit to the guy. Held it together pretty well till this staff meeting where a coworker unsuspectedly mentioned his own wedding anniversary, and that's all she wrote. That is all she wrote. Rick lost it. And everybody in the room understood why. Maybe it needed to happen the way it happened. Maybe it couldn't have happened any other way. I don't know. You know, a person's personality and the company culture, they have quite a big role to play in all of this stuff. But thinking about the CEO and how often I've encountered a top-level leader who was enduring something painful, and kids, it doesn't matter if it's personal or work, I was made to realize how valuable it is to have an atmosphere and a culture where a person can just shell things down and feel safe and feel secure. A place where a person can know that the tears, they're not going to diminish how other people see us. Because we're in a space where, you know, we're going to know that the only judgments that are being made are the same judgments that were being made in this room with these four men, and that was, how can we help? What can we do? I answered the Vistage call for that very reason. Becoming a Vistage chair was not something I began with some haphazard, lackluster motive. And I didn't do it for the money, because quite frankly, it ain't terribly lucrative. but it's not expensive either. And that contributes to that not so lucrative factor because the ROI is extraordinarily high. I mean, think about this now. How can Rick, how can this VP of technology, how can he quantify the price or the benefit of this group of men, these team members, as they rally to support him during what he admits is the most painful experience of his entire life? How can he quantify the price? How can he quantify the benefit? How can he articulate what that's worth? Well, I'm going to tell you, he can't. He'll tell you he can't. It's priceless. It's a value that no amount of money can buy. I mean, these are relationships with people in a culture that is extraordinary, and Rick knows it. Almost daily, I will tell a CEO or a business owner that my role as a Vistage chair is to do for them what nobody else can do. Namely, to assemble a group, to put them at a table with people who can help deal with and overcome or endure their pain. And yes, it's about building stronger, more profitable businesses. It's about building better organizations. But sometimes our pain has nothing to do with business, and yet it has the potential to negatively impact our business. Just like Rick's failing marriage was certain to impact his business role, his being an officer in this company. I mean, where will you go to have those conversations? Where will you go to get some perspective to help you manage those things better? Where will you turn? Not to complain, not to moan, but to get some help so that you can take some meaningful actions to fix it and get it right. Who's going to put their arm around you and say, "We're here for you"? Who can you lean on and not make it a burden? So, yeah. And boy, that's a problem. I encounter that very regularly. A leader will say, "Well, I can't take this to somebody else. I'm not going to burden them with it because I've got no business putting that on them." Where can you go? Where can you go where you're completely safe? Where can you go where it's totally secure, knowing that there's not going to be any repercussion for you? There's not going to be any negative consequence to letting your hair down. Well, if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and if you're a CEO, I'll qualify that even further. If you're a CEO who's also a founder and an owner, then we ought to talk. We ought to talk because I've got a possible solution for you. It's a new Vistage CEO group that I'm forming. It's a by-invitation-only group. I'm going to put a link. I'll tell you what it is since this is an audio podcast. You can't click a link in an audio podcast. Boy, if they could figure that out, we'd have something, wouldn't we? BulaNetwork.com/DFW. BulaNetwork.com. That's B-U-L-A Network.com/DFW. There's about a 5-6 minute video there that you can watch. You deserve to find a place. You do. You deserve to find a place as a CEO and an owner. You deserve to find a place. You deserve to find a group where you can better manage your own pain. And listen, we both know you've got plenty of it. Come on. It goes with the turf. And that doesn't mean that you ought to ignore it. You know better than that physically. I know people who manage their health that way. It's a bad way to go. And you know that. And I know that too. Even if you're guilty of it or you have been guilty of it. No, don't ignore it. It won't just go away. The truth is, if you keep ignoring it and you keep trying to do what Rick was going to attempt to do, to just take it on yourself, by yourself, you and I both know it will take a heavy toll on your life, professionally and personally. Come on, it's a business problem, right? It's a business problem in the sense that when you look at your pain, whether the source of your pain is personal or professional, it's still a business problem. And the business problem is this: the cost is too high to ignore. You wouldn't do that in your business. Don't do it in your life. And not only is the cost too high, but the remedy is too available. And quite honestly, the remedy is too stinking cheap. In a world that is focused on vitamins, I'm working really, really hard to be an aspirin. Because I want to serve people who've got the headache. Be well. Be well. My name is Randy Cantrell. I am your host here at the Grow Great Podcast. You can find all the show notes at growgreat.com. I do hope that you'll subscribe to the podcast. Tell a friend about us. It's really, you know, it's about building a great business. And in order to build a great business, we got to build ourselves into great leaders. That's the name of the game. And so, greetings. Greetings on a Thursday, June the 16th, 2016, from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, where I am coming to you from inside the Yellow Studio.